Thursday is the day we read from your letters. And this week, lots of praise and criticism about our reporting on arts and letters. Could NPR have been any more culturally arrogant in its coverage of the 2002 Nobel Literature Prize? That from Jeff Wood at the Whistlestop Bookstore in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. The straightforward, informative report on winner Imre Kertész from the perspective of his translators was followed by Robert Siegel being cozy with a historian of the Nobels, in which they both chuckled and wondered at what obscure or undeserving writers those silly Swedes could find. NPR should have just come out and said that it didn't know who Kertész was. Surely, therefore, he must not be worth knowing. Imagine a people with 1,000 years of literature could be represented by someone with a superior body of work known throughout Europe, someone that Americans may not know yet. Imagine the American commercial marketplace may not be a reliable indicator of literary quality, homegrown or otherwise. Kudos and a correction about opera from several listeners, including Zhi Lang Danieli from Baltimore. Very much enjoyed your interview with Dame Kiri Takanawa, one of the greatest living sopranos in my book. Yet that was not Puccini you blended in at the end of the interview, but rather her rendition of Richard Strauss's Four Last Songs. Of course, it's a tribute to Kiri Takanawa's talent that she sings those haunting songs in German and English and Scottish folk songs, and songs in at least half a dozen other languages, in addition to her opera repertoire, and all of them with character, presence, and authenticity. Our segment on the Nonsuch Explorers series of world music recordings brought back memories for many of you. Steve Fracht of Princeton, New Jersey writes, "You mentioned that one song sounded like Everybody Loves Saturday Night by the New Christy Minstrels. In fact, it predates that group. I have that song on an album from the late 50s by the Terriers. This trio was comprised of Eric Darling, Bob Carey, and, believe it or not, Alan Arkin. The album also contained the Banana Boat song before Harry Belafonte's version and Tom Dooley before the Kingston Trio. I guess the Terriers were onto something but just didn't quite grab the golden ring." And James Sneed of Fairfax, Virginia says he was delighted to hear the frenzied sounds of the Balinese Ramayana monkey chant. "At some point in the early 1970s, my father, who generally preferred Dixieland jazz, came home with this album to the delight and consternation of various members of the family. My brother and I, both in grade school, played it regularly and even had nicknames for the various voices that can be heard. We had no knowledge, of course, of the Ramayana or any sense of what the recording represented, but I can still hear that rapid-fire chanting booming out of the speakers on a New Mexico evening and wonder what the neighbors thought." And finally, my conversation with Paddy Maloney of the Irish band The Chieftains brought this response from C. Michael Bailey in Bryant, Arkansas. "I have been touched many times by stories on All Things Considered, but none so much as Miss Lydon and Mr. Maloney conversing in the Irish dialect while dedicating a tin whistle performance to Miss Lydon's dyed-in-the-wool Irish Aunt Ellie. During anxious times like these, this type of love for Texas." That would be the Irish language, Aunt Ellie. A footnote here, we learned today that Derek Bell, who played with the Chieftains for 30 years, died suddenly while recovering from minor surgery. Bell was considered one of the finest harpists in the world and also had several solo albums in addition to more than 30 recordings with the Chieftains. Derek Bell was 67 years old. Thanks very much for all your writing. You can reach us by email at npr.org, and please remember to tell us where you live and how to pronounce your name.